love that's never ending. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
Thank you, Amanda, Olivia, for that beautiful start this morning. Welcome to Webster Groves Baptist Church. We are delighted that you have decided to worship the risen Lord with us here this morning. Some announcements. Brother Terrell and Melinda are away on a vacation. We're happy to have Brother Keith Miner sharing God's word with us again. Welcome, Keith. It's always good to have you in our presence. Laura is traveling to Florida to see her family. We're glad to have Mark Pinillo, a Webster University student here playing for us this morning. We appreciate your time and your sacrifice and talents also, Mark. You'll notice on the back of the bulletin there's some of the church meetings coming up the next 3 weeks, December 8th, 15th, and 22nd. Take a note of those. On December 24th, Christmas Eve, the Christmas Eve service will be at 5 p.m. here. So make a written note of that. Want to thank those that came yesterday and decorated the church for the sanctuary for the Advent and Christmas season. This is the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Hope over here. Hope is a good thing. in spite of what we talked about in Sunday school. Hope is a good thing. Let's see. Howard, did you have an announcement? Yes, sir. Okay. If there are no other announcements, let's prepare to worship.
Father God, we truly do thank you this morning for your traveling grace and your mercy for blessing us to arrive at this, your house of prayer. We ask that you would continue to bless as your word goes forth. We will certainly be mindful to give your name the honor, the praise, and glory that you are so worthy of. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for being the providential God, the God that pays close attention to detail, the God that said on the first, you said it first. Sometimes when you want things done right, you have to do them yourself. And so we thank you for coming. We thank you for showing us the most excellent way. We thank you for showing us how to live a life without sin and being the perfect sacrifice. We ask that you would continue to empower us by your Holy Spirit, that we may share your word, that others may be drawn closer to you, and even to you for the very first time. We ask that you will continue to bless each household as represented in this house of worship and praise. And again, we will be honored to serve you on this afternoon and as our lives go forward. So when we leave this place, we are conscious that we are servants of yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join me in the call to worship. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, we your people acclaim you. We praise you. We exalt you. We bless your holy name. Your majesty is made known throughout all creation. Help us not to neglect doing your will and to be obedient to the word you place in our hearts. Amen.
And now we're going to sing out of the hymnal 361, We Have Come Into This House. We'll sing both verses.
Is this the time we share in the Lord's Supper, those of us who are set and who are servants at this particular time shall come forth. We ask that we would continue to follow what the Lord Jesus has set in place and set in order for us to do as we partake together in this, his broken body and shed blood. Jesus the Christ asks us to be mindful until he shall return. We ask that we continue to govern ourselves accordingly as the love and grace of God abides on each of us this morning. Be conscious of what we are receiving. The Lord's body broken for us and the Lord's shed blood that was shed for us on Calvary's cross. Amen. Shall we receive it? Broken body, okay. Broken body and shed blood. Shall we partake in this sacrament together after we excuse ourselves for omitting our sister? Broken body and shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as a family, let us eat together. Let's drink together, remembering of the Lord as to what he done for us. Amen.
From the book of Psalms 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There, thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and my companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. This is the word of the Lord.
And now we're going to sing out of the pew book, My Life is in You, Lord, 150. And we'll sing this all the way through.
Good morning. As we come to the prayers of the people, are there any praises out there today? Anything that anyone would like to share? Yes, it has. Yes, it has. It's been good. Although I think my wife is ready to go back to work and so she can have a vacation from all the holiday work and planning. Anyone else with a praise this morning? I did see on a church marquee or sign or whatever the other day, and I'm paraphrasing, but it said the richest person in town isn't the one that has the most, but the one who needs the least. And I think that I thought about that a lot this week, and I think that makes me one of the richest guys in town. I think I've been very blessed, and I think we all have at different times. We stop and think about the things that are wrong, and we're always, you know, we always, our prayers tend to be for needs and things, and those are important. But sometimes I think it's important to stop and just realize sometimes how blessed that we all are. Are there any prayers that anyone would like to bring this morning? Yes, one of my former players found out that his wife has brain tumors and is going to go through some rough times ahead. Family, them in our prayers. Anyone else? I do have one I'd like to bring. A couple of weeks ago, we have a Fellowship of Christian Athletes group at the university there, and so they just invite different people to come and meet with them and speak with them. So a couple of Thursday nights ago, for whatever reason, they asked me to come and be with the group that particular night. And as we were going around talking about different things and different issues that come up in their lives, one girl mentioned that she asked me a question. She said, "Have you ever lost faith in God?" And I said, "Well, give me a little background. What makes you ask that question?" And she's got a sister who has a brain tumor, and she said that her sister is one of the one of the best people she's ever met, and kind and sweet and loving and cares for other people and worries about others more than herself and all that. And they found out she's got a brain tumor, and they don't know if they can, you know, take care of it or not. And she said, so I'm struggling with why does God let something like that happen? And I've never been able to answer that question, or never, I don't know how I feel about that question. I'm sure we all at one point or another in our lives have went there. Why does God let bad things happen to good people? Or bad things happen at all, for that matter. And she was really struggling, and it kind of struck me just, you know, sometimes just how, as a Christian, we struggle with our faith and struggle with our, you know, belief in God. And so I would just ask that you would not only pray for her sister for healing, but also pray for her and for strength, and just that she would realize that God is there and God is always with her. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come here and worship you. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day in our lives, those that we realize and sometimes those that we don't realize. We ask that you be with those who are sick. Please lay your healing hand upon them, and those that require serious medical procedures, please be with the doctors and help them to heal whatever ails them. Lord, be with those that are hungry, those that are without a place to live. Be with our leaders. Help them to do the things that you would have them to do. Lord, also be with those people that are struggling, people that are grieving, people that are lost, people that feel like you don't know that they're there. Please be with those people as well, and help all of us to realize that in those darkest moments, you're right there with us, and that you're always there, and you're always watching, and you're always caring. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And now let's sing hymn number 76, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We'll sing all four verses.
Ransom captive Israel.
table, let's stand and sing hymn number 95, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Seated. Our New Testament reading today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
We are indeed grateful that God has saw fit for Mashaila and myself to be with you once again, Webster Groves. We ask that you would continue to pray along with us as we attempt to be used of God to utter his word. Amen. We thank Dr. Terrell for his graciousness in asking us to minister once again. I'm like one of the characters I describe oftentimes on Fat Albert, and when I'm at Webster Groves, I'm like the gentleman on the Flintstones. I believe his name was Sliprock. You know, he's always doing something, you know. For those of you who were present some Lord's Suppers ago, when I and Mashaila were here, don't tell your neighbor if they weren't here and they didn't see what happened. We'll keep that amongst ourselves. That is a running joke that I guess I keep for myself. It is something that I share with other brothers as well, that goofiness of mine that occurred with you, the church family here at Webster Groves. And then I omitted my sister from partaking of the Lord's Supper. I didn't mean to treat you as a Judas, but charge it to my head, not my heart. Amen? Amen. Again, we are thankful for being in your midst, and we won't prolong the time. Scripture has already been read, and at this point, we will look at the heart, if you don't mind, of Paul from the standpoint of his speaking to the Romans via a letter. He signifies by saying a letter to Rome, or the letter to the Roman believers. This particular letter is one of Paul's longest letters. It doesn't mean that I'll be long on this morning. Hopefully, Holy Spirit will discipline me to either read my notes or, as some old-time ministers would say, cut across the field and just get to the meat of the matter. In this particular chapter of Romans 10, verses 1 through 9, and if you don't mind including verse 10 as well in that cluster of scriptures, we see that Paul is again speaking to the believers at Rome, or the believers in the territory of Rome. We ask that we would keep this in mind, that he sees a people who needs to hear a word from the Lord. And what better person to hear from than Paul himself? You know, Paul has a lot in common with those who are missing the mark in regards to not knowing exactly who Jesus the Christ was at one particular time. You can see, as he so lovingly writes, we could go on for a little while bragging on the literary style and our writing of Paul in this particular letter. This particular letter can be embraced with holding a lot of the doctrinal truths that we embrace in regards to spirituality, and one being saved. It is one that includes and not restricts. It is one that includes and not causes individuals to feel slighted and are outside the ark of safety of God. That God, through Christ, came to seek and to save the lost. Yes, he came for Israel. Certainly he did. But because of the hard-heartedness and hard-headedness of Israel, it left room for others. Because Paul became like many of the other prophets, even though Paul is not considered a prophet, he's deemed an apostle at this point, even though he didn't walk hand in hand with Jesus, but he had a divine encounter with Jesus, a personal encounter with Jesus. And he was mandated by Jesus himself, to preach the gospel. There were a lot of things that took place in between that time, but the things that Paul had in common with these Roman citizens, these believers in Rome, Paul knew what it was to not know Jesus from a personal standpoint. What are you talking about, Brother Keith? Well, when Paul addresses the brothers and sisters in Rome and the believers at Rome, he says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." That they have a zest, they have a zeal, they have passion, but not according to knowledge. That they know of God, but they don't know him personally. How can you make such a bold proclamation, Brother Keith? Well, if you fail to recognize and believe on Jesus, you're rejecting the Father. And these persons in Rome did not believe on Jesus as Messiah, Jesus as the Savior of not just of Israel, not just of the Hebrews, but of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Believe it or not, there are those who argue that that particular scripture that we know so very well, that reads, "For God so loved the world," again, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Some would dare argue that that wasn't inclusive and or including the world as we know it. It was just, the Hebrew world. Well, there are many arguments that could be brought to oppose that particular stance, and I'll suffice it to say that God did come to save the whole wide world because of the hard-headedness of his people. Now, this particular heart matter, we would know that we're not talking about an uncircumcised heart. We're not talking about from a physical standpoint, but we're talking about a heart from a spiritual standpoint. We can't give any credence to and or any trust to the human heart because of Adam. What are you getting at? Well, Adam caused sin to enter into the world, and thereby death by sin. If we embrace the heart of man from that standpoint, we're still in need of a salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. And there he is to save us, because the fall of man called for a Savior to come. It wasn't a plan B. It wasn't a plan C. It wasn't a oops, I must come up with an idea. No, this was a divine plan that was already set in motion that Jesus would come. When Adam sinned, again, sin entered into the world. But thank God for the second Adam, being the person of Jesus Christ, who these Israelites, these believers at Rome, did not trust and or believe in. But Paul exercised a loving hand. Paul exercises a loving heart. How do you come to that conclusion, Brother Keith? Well, he says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." He strokes them with a compliment, per se. He doesn't get on their heads in regards to bashing them for missing the mark and or missing who God is in the person of Jesus Christ. He highlights a positive, that they have passion, that they have a heart to pursue God from the standpoint of what they know of the law, but they missed the mark in regards to why the law was even presented to them. The law was presented that they would seek Jesus because no man can keep the law. No man could keep the law perfectly, because if you offend in one, you've offended in them all. So Paul goes on, and from verse 2 standpoint, we say to ourselves as we read this, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. When we look at Jeremiah and the condition of the human heart, Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it was the question. Jesus has the answer. Jesus is the answer. Psalms 19 and 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You can't utter that particular psalm and song or prayer if you don't know who Jesus is. Now, a crying heart, absent of Jesus, God has a sensitivity for that, because only God knows the heart. God is the only one who serves, if you will, as a spiritual mallet to soften the heart of man. Because man, if you would use your sanctified imaginations along with me, that man was born after Adam with a stony heart. And it's only Jesus that can soften that heart and make it a heart of flesh, receptive to the love of God. When we look at this matter of the heart again, we see in Romans 5 and 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Throughout Scripture, from cover to cover, Jesus is the answer for humanity's crises, because Jesus himself is the Christ. Romans 1, 21 through 22. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. There lies the recipe and the need for the light of the world, Jesus Christ himself. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, the scriptures goes on to say in verse 22. Romans 8 and 27, and he was, or better yet, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Not only will God leave you in perfect peace, he will leave you in perfect and lead you in perfect truth, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't have time to read 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, but it's a powerful piece of scripture to acknowledge and embrace. When we look at this matter that Paul again speaks from the heart to the heart of these believers, Paul goes on to give us a 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of idea of what it means to trust in God. But this trust comes only through the person of Jesus, who is the Christ. Paul exercises patience through love. Paul exercises, again, passion. Paul obviously exercises prayer. And then ultimately, Paul exercises the power of the preaching moment. All of us, when we look at this particular question of what is it that we've done for God, we can leave out the lately part, but what is it that we are doing and are saying for God? If there are believers around us, we need not preach to the choir. We need to, exercise iron sharpening iron. We encourage one another through the empowerment and the enrichment of the word by reminding each other of it. However, what about the unbelievers? What about those who are missing the mark? What about those who are close? They're in proximity. In regards, if you're looking at it from a spiritual perspective and using a geographical metaphor to help paint this picture, that they're close to God from the standpoint they have a trust in God, but they don't know Jesus. You can't know the Father without the Son. And you can't have the Son without the Father. And you can't have either one without the Holy Spirit. Brother Keith, are you talking about three gods? No, I'm talking about one God. There is but one God that echoes through the ears and hearts and minds of the Israelites and are those who are now accustomed to hearing the Jews preach, but being void of Jesus. They preach void of Jesus, and any gospel that does not have Jesus in it, it's not good news at all. It's half news, if anything. And if it goes on without embracing Jesus as the Christ, it is bad news only. And you can't get any good out of it. God is the only one that is ultimately in control as to where any individual will expend their time and or spend their time in eternity or hell. I think the song embraced the word Hades, or one particular translation my sister read, did it say Hades or not? Did it? Can I hear a voice? Can't recall. But either way, who wants to go there? I don't. So, without Jesus, there is no heaven. Without Jesus, there is no everlasting walk with him. Of course, there is no relationship with him. And as I close, when we look at
This power of patience and this power of passion that Paul goes on to demonstrate, it is not void of prayer. He talks to God on other people's behalf. Who is it that we've prayed for lately? Well, I feel as if I'm really talking to the choir because we've already been prepped and primed to pray for others. I believe those hearts and minds are assembled here in this spiritual house right now. So we may need to tell this to someone else. And so you can just receive this in the loving manner in which it is presented and go out and tell people, yes, of the love of God, but tell them from the standpoint of Jesus the Christ, who is the personification of God. The world embraces God. You can get away in any particular place sometimes because it's beginning to be a little rough these days for believers. You can't even say God a lot of times in different places. But what I'm meaning by this is you can say God and get away with it through the ears and minds and hearts of a lot of people. But soon as you personalize it, soon as you mention the name of Jesus, there becomes a deafening loudness, if that means anything to you. People will get highly offended. Of course, yes, you will have people who would get offended by God and God alone, as generic sounding as it can be, because I wrestle with today, just as my sister wrestles with, yeah, the cancerous, the tumor of doubt at times. God is the perfect one to present those kinds of problems to. And so as I wrestle with whether or not my society in which I live, these united and most times separate states that we live in, and this God that they profess, is it the God of Scripture I wrestle with at times? Is it talking about Jesus who is the Christ I wrestle with at times? But the wrestle doesn't go on too long because I'm comforted. I'm reminded what the Scripture says, that if I of Scripture, Jesus the Christ, be lifted up, I will draw. And Jesus says, don't worry. I have everything under control. That those of you who are practicing anything that's outside of and excluding me, I have an answer for you. And for those who embrace me as their Lord and their Savior, you need not worry about what the world is doing because I have everything, again, in perfect control because it's in my hands. Paul is exercising through prayer a concern, some compassion for others, because salvation is afforded only to those who believe in Jesus the Christ. But it's not our business in regards to who receives it. We are to give it out. The Holy Spirit will give us the spirit of discernment when, where, and how to do it. But our business at hand is to promote, is to preach, is to proclaim Jesus as the crucified Savior, even of the world. And so Paul goes from a praying matter to a preaching matter. And it is all coming from a passionate place because of Jesus Christ, who he met on a Damascus road. He had rejected him for so many other times in the past. But until he met him for himself, you couldn't tell him anything. Some people, that's exactly what it's going to take. Until they meet Jesus for themselves, they will not believe, but that's not what we should be most concerned about. We should be most diligent about proclaiming the gospel, even when we know sometimes it falls on deaf ears, because we need to practice. I think to waste it is not a matter of concern for the church of today, because I don't even know, I'm not confident to know right now if we're really exercising the power that lies within these vessels. That is the priest word, the word of faith that is within us and that we give out to other people. That we shouldn't put any more restrictions on anyone about keeping the law, so on and so forth. If you save, you will keep the law. You should keep the law, the laws of God, that is. But not from the standpoint that if you don't keep the law, or if you are keeping the law, you will lose your salvation and or you will keep your salvation. If you can do that, there was no need of Jesus to come. Jesus is the ultimate one that we receive salvation from. It's not achieved, it's received. It's a free gift that none of us are worthy of, that none of us have worked for. And so we should give it out freely and passionately. I say passionately because I believe there is a hell and I believe there is a heaven. And since we live sometimes in a sugar-coated society, I believe there is an eternal place of damnation. And I believe there's an eternal place of happiness, glory, and all-consuming love of God. That's for those who need a soften of the blow. But hell is hell and heaven is heaven. And God is real. Until he becomes real to those who don't believe, we will always be found guilty, I pray, of proclaiming the gospel in spite of. Because even in our pain, we are still to be passionate toward others. Even in our pain, sometimes when we remember others, we'll forget our own. And God will heal us even in that hour when we don't even recognize it. And so again, second close. We live in a society, literally, when we're talking about KMOV Channel 4, who says with a news caption, St. Louis is one of the most sinful cities in America. I couldn't believe my ears and I couldn't believe my eyes when I read that. Are you familiar with that particular article? It says, a study based and compared to 180 cities around the United States, most times separate, based on 7 sinful behaviors, and they list them. They said, anger, hatred, jealousy, excessiveness, and then we talk about vices, greed, lust, vanity, and laziness. I said to myself, a sinful society is using the word sin, and or a believing, yeah. Author is daring using the word sin. For me, that was not just for the believers, that was for the non-believers as well. But I received my wake-up call as a believer when I saw a secular paper using the words St. Louis is one of the most sinful cities in America, KMOV Channel 4. And then when we look at another news article, and it talks about how St. Louis is ranked 3rd in the country in regards to, violence and crime. And East St. Louis is number 1. All of those, or both of those cities, have St. Louis in it. I don't know about you, but I believe Webster is a part of St. Louis some way, somehow. And if you dare separate yourself and say, I'm just a part of Missouri, and you forget about your unbelieving counterparts and or your believing brothers and sisters who are of St. Louis, then we still miss the mark because we are a family as believers. And we are proclaimers as believers. So whether we live in Webster, whether we live in Ladue, or whether we live in the code word oftentimes for black is North St. Louis. If you're not comfortable with those words, then we may need to take off, the blinders and the spiritual passiveness and or the spiritual naivety that sometimes we feed each other and realize that we have a fight to fight, the good fight of faith that Paul was giving to these persons in Rome. Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and the life. The power and the connection to God is even close to them, within them, even in their mouths. That if they confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and if they will believe in Jesus from their hearts, that confession is made with the mouth, and belief is incubated in the heart, that only God can serve up into a true and healthy born-again Christian or born-again individual, putting away the old and behold in Jesus Christ, finding all things new. And so my last close, as I fold up the tent, not my earthly tent because I still have a fight within me, so I still live on as Jesus lives through and in me. And I turn off my technological device as any kind of aid to me. and I stand flat-footed before my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I say to you that Jesus gives us a heart of flesh. Jesus gives us a heart of love. Are we spreading the love not to each other as a family of Christ? For what do we profit? Not to us as a family of Christ alone, that is. So what do we profit when we do so? But I'm talking about, yes, the family of God, because do good to all men, but especially the household of faith. And so all men I'm looking at as those who are outside the ark of safety. What do we say and do for them? Do we allow them to suffer in their own ignorance, their own plight of unbelief, or do we lend to them the power of the gospel and allow Holy Spirit to do the work? Will we plant? Will I water? And will we together and collectively watch God give the increase? Is my prayer. Amen. Father God, hopefully our hearts have been reminded, stirred, and even if there was any confusion in our midst and uttered from my tongue, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would make it right, because that's what you do. You make all things right, and you make all things well. So, Father, we appreciate you for coming, even through and in the person of your Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. And bless us to be found guilty of sharing the power of the gospel, and watch you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, change hearts and change minds. That is our prayer collectively. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Actually, that was my version of the benediction. However, shall we stand together as we exit together? I practice this particular benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Father, be dominion, majesty, and power, both now and forever. Let every heart say, amen, that believe. Amen.